translation. Yadu replied, "My dear father, you have already achieved old age, although you also were a young man. But I do not welcome your old age and invalidity, for unless one enjoys material happiness, one cannot attain renunciation." Purport. Renunciation of material enjoyment is the ultimate goal of human life. Therefore, the Vajrasrama institution is most scientific. It aims at giving one the facility to return home back to Godhead, which one cannot do without completely renouncing all connections with the material world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Niskinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanam Mukasya. One who wants to go back home, back to Godhead, must be Niskinchan, free from all affinity for material enjoyment. Brahmani Upasamastriyam, unless one is fully renounced, one cannot engage in devotional service or stay in Brahman. Devotional service is rendered on the Brahman platform. Therefore, unless one attains the Brahman platform or spiritual platform, one cannot engage in devotional service. Or in other words, a person engaged in devotional service is already on the Brahman platform. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yokena sevite sagunan samatityaitam brahma bhuye kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. If one attains devotional service, therefore, he is certainly liberated. Generally, unless one enjoys material happiness, one cannot attain renunciation. Vajrasrama therefore gives the opportunity for gradual elevation. Yadu, the son of Maharaj Yayati, explained that he was unable to give up his youth, for he wanted to use it to attain the renounced order in the future. Maharaj Yadu was different from his brothers, as stated in the next verse, Turvasus Churita Pitra Druyus Chanus Chabarata Pratya Sakyur Adharma Gya. Maharaj Yadu's brothers refused to accept their father's proposal because they were not completely aware of Dharma. To accept orders that follow religious principles, especially the order of one's father, is very important. Therefore, when the brothers of Maharaj Yadu refused their father's order, this was certainly irreligious. Maharaj Yadu's refusal, however, was religious. As stated in the 10th canto, Yadus cha dharma silasya. Maharaj Yadu was completely aware of the principles of religion. The ultimate principle of religion is to engage oneself in the devotional service to the Lord. Maharaj Yadu was very eager to engage himself in the Lord's service, but there was an impediment. During youth, the material desire to enjoy the material senses is certainly present, and unless one fully satisfies these lusty desires in youth, there is a chance of one's being disturbed in rendering service to the Lord. We've actually seen that many sannyasis who accepted sannyas prematurely, not having satisfied their material senses, fall down because they are disturbed. Therefore, the general process is to go through grihastha life and vanaprastha life and finally come to sannyas and devote oneself completely to the service of the Lord. Maharaj Yadu was ready to accept his father's order and exchange youth for old age because he was confident that the youth taken by his father would be returned. But because this exchange would delay his complete engagement in devotional service, he did not want to accept his father's old age, for he was eager to achieve freedom from disturbances. Moreover, among the descendants of Yadu would be Lord Krishna. Therefore, because Yadu was eager to see the Lord's appearance in his dynasty as soon as possible, Yadu refused to accept his father's proposal. This was not irreligious. However, because Yadu's purpose was to serve the Lord. Because Yadu was a faithful servant of the Lord, Lord Krishna appeared in his dynasty, as confirmed in the prayers of Kunti. Yadu priyasya priyasyan vavaye. Yadu was very dear to Krishna, who was therefore eager to descend in Yadu's dynasty. In conclusion, Maharaj Yadu should not be considered adharmagya, ignorant of religious principles, as the next verse designates his brothers. He was like the four Sanakas, the Chatusana, who refuse the order of their father, Brahma, for the sake of a better cause. Because the four Kumaras wanted to engage themselves completely in the service of the Lord as brahmacharis, their refusal to obey their father's order was not irreligion. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Gyanandana salakya shakshurun minitam yena tasmai si guruve nama Shri Chaitanya Manavastam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadam Dikam Vandeham Sigaro Sita Padakamalam Sigurum Vaisnavam Sta Sirupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Ladita Sivisakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Jagat Pate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatirubhyaccha Kripasindubhyaccha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Sivasani Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So Yadu, Maharaj Yadu refused the request of his father within the Vedic culture to disobey the order of one's father was very, very serious and not commonly practiced. So it was kind of astonishing that Maharaj Yadu denied the order of his father. But it is explained here that he did so out of a deep, serious contemplation on spiritual life. And that he was thinking, if I artificially give up my youth now and just jump to old age, then I may prematurely renounce. There might be a risk. And that is not wise. So, on the basis of these considerations, not necessarily that Maharaj Yadu was very much afflicted by lusty desires and that he necessarily was thinking, I'm still young now, let me get as much enjoyment as I can. But it was more from fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So, as a pious soul, as being in the mode of goodness, he was careful. He was considering so many. So many have already become influenced by the lower modes of nature. Therefore, let me not jump into renunciation like this. By this request of my father, suddenly we are abruptly jumping into renunciation because old age comes automatically with renunciation. There's no question of not renouncing in old age. It just happens automatically. When one is young, one eats what is tasty. When one is old, one eats what agrees with the system. And for that, one has to renounce so many things and no problem. It's like these days I gave up sugar, it was unthinkable. I was a total sugar addict for many years, right? Ladus, many, right? Mongolatic sweets, you name it, right? Always ready. Now, no thank you. It's very nice. Yeah. Pranams, obeisances to the manners, Mongolatic sweets, but that's beyond my power. It's just too powerful, those things. What can I say? But the obeisances are there because we appreciate that Krishna is being served so nicely. We're getting such nice Mangalartic sweets. So, in this way, Old age naturally brings renunciation. So Maharaj Yadu was not quickly and passionately refusing his father. He was not just saying, out of a mood of non-cooperation, you know, forget it. Forget it, old man. No way. Not in that spirit, but deeply thoughtful. Because the mode of goodness is characterized by thoughtfulness. And Maharaj Yadu was deeply thoughtful, and therefore realizing that better to progress carefully. It is mentioned that Vedic culture is actually such a culture. Srila Prabhupada gives the description that Vedic culture is a reformatory process which is very gradual. And he says, just like the goldsmith takes a little hammer and in a very careful way is shaping an ornament, in the same way the Vedic culture is filled with so many injunctions of prescribed behavior and everything must be done properly, and in this way one becomes gradually reformed and gradually rises above material desires and can gradually focus on the Supreme Lord. Then Srila Prabhupada describes the Sankirtan movement is a little different, because the Sankirtan movement, he said, is like the sledgehammer of the blacksmith. So in one blow, in one blow the reformation takes place by great force. So we see that our process of reformation is more abrupt than the Vedic culture. Whereas the Vedic culture is a society which very gradually reforms. In our movement, in the Sankirtan movement, we sometimes make serious jumps, right? It is required, because we did not grow up in the appropriate culture. There were activities that had to be completely stopped, and whether there would have been withdrawal symptoms or not, they have to be stopped. Right, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating have to be stopped. And it's like difficult, intense, but somehow or other, because of the potency of the chanting of the holy name, it is all possible. Therefore, this chanting of the holy name is our only solace. It is our only shelter. We could never be like Maharaj Yadu. We could not be so deeply established in the mode of goodness. It is interesting how it is described that the modes of material nature mix. There are three modes, and then these three modes, they combine in different ways, and then you get 3, 9, 27, 80, 81 different combinations and so on. We've heard that maybe. And I once saw an explanation which was, yes, you can be in goodness, 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 or you can be in goodness, goodness, passion. And it's different when you're in goodness, goodness, all right, everything. But when there's a little tinge of passion, then one can... there's always that little nagging, passionate afterthought, that little tendency to enjoy. Now, one could also, for example, be in passion, goodness, goodness. So that means the inclination is towards passion. The inclination is towards enjoying the material energy. But then comes in goodness immediately. No, this is not wise. I should rather act according to the principles of scripture and as revealed by the Acharya. Then you speak about passion, goodness, goodness. Or you get you can also get a combination, tamas, tamas, tamas. And then, that could be problematic then, to come to spiritual life. And if spiritual life comes in the middle of all that, yes, then by the mercy of the process of devotional service, it changes our tamas. Because tadarajas tamo bhava kamalo bhadyascheye mate eviri tanviri stitam satprapasidati. That by the process of devotional service, gradually one is lifted above the influence of ignorance and passion, and one becomes situated in sattva, stitam satprapasidati, and one becomes satisfied. So, gradually the modes of ignorance, the influence of ignorance and passion disappears. But that's gradual. So here's a little bit of goodness due to the association of the Vaishnavas and due to the process of devotional service, due to the mercy of the holy name. We get uplifted. So our pure and transcendental activities have a dual result. One result is that it gives us pure transcendental attachment to Krishna. That is one result. And the other result is that it destroys the influence of the lower modes of material nature and therefore gradually brings us up to goodness. So we see this dual benefit from devotional service. And with this dual benefit, we are experiencing that we are gradually making progress. When we are looking at the temple, then we can see here we are in the Bhaktivedanta manor. Here are the deities Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Gornitai, all transcendental. This temple, so much. Prabhupada's headquarters in Europe, so much connected with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was sitting on the lawn, and with that the lawn has become like a place of pilgrimage, like that. The manor is so transcendental. Even the lawn is completely transcendental, right? And in this way we look and we think, yes, everything and everyone is transcendental except me. Do you also feel like that sometimes? The odd one out in the Hare Krishna movement, the one that's somehow or other not transcendental, what to do about that? That kind of situation does occur. But then at least we understand by this devotional service, I'm not really making any advancement. But gradually the mode of goodness awakens, and even gradually some attachment to Krishna awakens. That naturally arises, even when we don't notice. I compare that to getting older. You don't notice it, that you're getting older. Sometimes, right? You look in the mirror and think, my God, I look old. Yeah? It's like that. Whereas it creeps upon you, sort of like you don't really notice it. You think, I didn't change a bit. And then you say, well, maybe I did change, actually, my body, like that. Sometimes one becomes aware of it. In the same way, sometimes we realize, well, maybe I did become a bit more established in the mode of goodness. Maybe I did even develop some attachment to Krishna. And with it, it is a fact. It is this attachment that will save us. The other day, I was in Zurich. And there, we had a festival, a Snan Yatra festival. And at the time, Guru Gauranga Prabhu, the founding father of like the Swiss Yatra, right, was also there because Prabhupada sent him to Swiss, to Switzerland, to develop that Yatra. So somehow or other, when he was speaking, a purport came up which mentioned that many of these intimate pastimes are beyond the capacity of the devotee to understand. So he liked that very much. And he's saying, yes, all these pastimes of the Lord, all these exalted pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, or of even of Lord Chaitanya, who cry so many tears. During Stanyatra, there was a miracle. And the miracle was that Lord Chaitanya was dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. And from the body of Lord Jagannath, so much water was bouncing in all directions. But the miracle was that there was more water coming from the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than from Lord Jagannath. And where did it all come from? It were the tears that were shooting from his eyes in all directions. So that was just amazing. That was just a miracle. And then Guru Granth said, even that, you know. He said, I just can't understand. He said, all these things are just glimpses. Glimpses, previews, you know, previews of the spiritual world, right, of what is to come to encourage us. But actually we cannot fully perceive or understand these things. He said, therefore, even Krishna, he said, I cannot understand Krishna. Said, well, and then came to the point of, but the spiritual master is there. Prabhupada was there. He was there in this world, actively dealing with the devotees, and in that way, more accessible. But even Prabhupada, to what extent accessible? To what extent Vaishnavira Kriya Vigyana Bhujaya? One cannot understand the level of realization of the superior Vaishnava. There's a story in New Vrindavan how the devotees were carrying Prabhupada on a palanquin, and they were carrying Prabhupada along a pathway, a rough road, a country path really, which had the nickname the Agasura Road. And they were carrying Prabhupada on the Agasura Road on a palanquin, and it was evening time, and there were torches, and it was very beautiful and transcendental, one of those pictures from just another dimension. And one devotee felt a strong desire to go close to Prabhupada and go right next to the palanquin, only to realize that actually still universes, still lifetimes removed, right? Even although next to Prabhupada, Prabhupada was in another domain. Prabhupada was in the spiritual world at all times. So even while being close with Prabhupada, one might not understand him. Prabhupada is being glorified sometimes, and there's so much glorification of Srila Prabhupada, and appropriately so. But it may be so that we've missed out so much at the same time, that he should have been glorified for many things that we didn't realize, that we didn't appreciate. No? After this class, we will get a short presentation of 15 minutes on Brahmananda Prabhu, and that, of course, I'm very happy about that, because Brahmananda was such a unique personality. In 2002, the news had come that Tamal Krishna Maharaj had his accident, and we were waiting outside the main gate, because they were waiting for Tamal Krishna Maharaj's body to arrive, and I happened to be standing there for a long time, and Brahmananda was also there. Brahmananda was also there. And then Brahmananda, we started speaking, and Brahmananda said to me, he said that the departure of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, is not just the end of the presence of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He said, it's the end of an era. Right? And in the same way, The departure of Brahmananda is also like that. It is the end of an era, because we don't see anyone who had that intimate, that very deep love that Brahmananda had for Prabhupada. I mean, now that's gone. That was something unique. So I want to tell one story that and that is, in Vrindavan, Brahmananda was speaking about Prabhupada, and one devotee was asking a question, and the question was about the early days of ISKCON, and then the ISKCON that was a little more developed. And he said, you know, in the early days with ISKCON, there was a very intimate connection with Prabhupada, and very close, and then later, Prabhupada was less available. Did you experience any difference in the relationship over time? And Brahmananda said, when you're a child, your father is your father, and when you grow up, your father is still your father. No change. Then this devotee, who English was not his first language, so I'm not sure if it was a grammatical issue or whatever, but he said, I can see that for you, Prabhupada is just God. And then Brahmananda said, oh no, I made that mistake once. Oh no, that was a mistake. Prabhupada is not God. No, he is not God. Prabhupada is as good as God. But these days, I think that Prabhupada is better than God, because he came to the Lower East Side and saved me. And then his voice got sort of like all hoarse by emotion, and the whole audience, it was very quiet. Everyone was just feeling that wave of deep emotion. Prabhupada better than God, right? Because he saved me. So this is an element which is a very wonderful point. A wonderful point. And seeing right our Bhakti Prem Maharaj sitting right in front of me, I'm remembering Bhakti Charu Maharaj just now. And then another story which he told, which was a similar thing. And the thing was that Prabhupada, in Vrindavan, the final days, Prabhupada rang his bell. And he said he wanted orange juice. So Bhakti Charuma said, yes, I'll bring it. But after about 2 minutes, the bell rang again, right? Where's the orange juice? You know what I mean? I told you I wanted orange juice. Why didn't you make it? And it was like trying to mix well. I mean, you know. And Prabhupada just became very upset. Very upset. And he just chastised him. And he said, you know, you can keep your orange juice. I don't want it anymore. Right? It's like, you know, it is just totally like this. But then, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he anyway brought orange juice. He brought it anyway. And Prabhupada said, I don't want it. Take it away. But Bhakti Charu Maharaj did not leave. He stayed. He just stayed there and he said, please take it. It's good for you. And then Prabhupada said, anyway, as an old man, sometimes I'm getting grumpy. And then he drank it, right? And it was just really something, you know. I mean, such a story about a mutual loving exchange, how the love of one is conquering the other, how the love of the spiritual master is conquering the disciple, and how in turn the disciple is conquering the spiritual master by his love. And this kind of exchange is what will save us, and this is something tangible. Therefore, the relationship with the spiritual master cannot be casual. It cannot be a pin up button on a bead bag. Right? It cannot be. It cannot be the one who gave me my name and that's it. It has to be on the cutting edge. It has to be. One has to invest in it. And the onus is on the disciple. It is the disciple who has to invest, who has to somehow or other make it into something special. That relationship is never to be taken as an ordinary relationship, but it is the duty of the disciple to invest, and then it becomes magic, it becomes special. That is actually a very important point. And of course, said, glorious is that spiritual master who pulls his disciple back to Godhead by the hair. So that element is also there, the spiritual master who extends himself in so many ways to somehow or other bring a disciple back to Godhead. It is in that way that we will be saved. The theme of this chapter, being Yayati in his old age, still influenced by strong sex desire, so much so that he wants to exchange his old age, confronts us with our own sex desire. I kind of already spoke yesterday and focused on that point. Today I'm focusing on the mercy, especially the mercy of the spiritual master who is in our life and connecting us with Krishna. And I'm thinking now of Giriraj Das Brahmachari in that time, who was in Bombay in that time, fighting the case with Mr. Nair over the land. And at one point, Giriraj was in some public function where many dignitaries of Bombay were present. And as he was driving back in a car, and he stepped into the car, then suddenly this gorgeous, beautiful young lady sat right next to him, and not just next to him, but really next to him. And his mind was affected and started spinning, and he thought, I'm going to fall down. This is it. I'm going to fall down. And then he thought, no, but how could I? Prabhupada will be so disappointed when he will hear about it. So this relationship saved him at that time. That lady was a prostitute sent by Mr. Nair. A Ramachandra Khan story. Anyway, so that protection of that relationship, of the personal relationship with the spiritual master, is not a luxury. It is our saving grace. And on this day, when we are going to commemorate a little bit about Brahmananda Prabhu, then, yeah, we can remember how Prabhupada came to the Lower East Side and saved Brahmananda. And that's a fact. Better than God. Yeah, so any questions, any comments?